Okay, good evening. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 52. Psalm 52. And Psalm 52, the title reads, to the chief musician, Maskil, a psalm of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David is come to the house of Ahimelech. Verse 1. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. The tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. The righteous also shall see in fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthen himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Now let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Lord, there are so many emotions displayed and expressed by the psalmist. Help us to understand them and help us to glean lessons for our own lives. And help us, Lord, to see Christ in this psalm. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the title of the psalm ties this psalm to a very specific event. And we learn here that it is the event where Doeg, the Edomite, went to tell the priest, or went to tell Saul about the time when David went to Ahimelech the priest. Now, that's a fairly lengthy title. If you're interested in reading the story, you actually see it in 1 Samuel 22. You know, this was the occasion when David was running away from Saul. He was in the cave of Adullam, and then he ran away. He was being chased by Saul. And what happened is, when he went to the city of Nob, Ahimelech the priest gave him refuge, gave him supplies, right? But what's interesting is, there was a herdsman by the name of Doeg, and he saw all this. And what happened is, he went to report it to Saul. Now, you can read it all in 1 Samuel 22. And Saul, subsequently, he ordered the massacre of the people of Nob. How dare this Ahimelech give refuge to my enemy? Right? Go and kill the priests. Go and kill the inhabitants of the city. But what we learn in 1 Samuel 22 is that none of the of Saul's people dared to do this kind of work. So the informant himself, Doeg, he carried the orders out. And what we learn in 1 Samuel 22 is, he killed 85 priests, but he also killed the men, women, and children, and infants, and also the animals of the town of Nob. Now, we're told here that his name is Doeg the Edomite. That can be, of course, translated as Doeg the Red. So whether or not he was actually an Edomite, a stock of the people of Edom, it could be a poetic way of saying Doeg the Bloody, right? Doeg the one who massacred, right? What he did led to a lot of bloodshed. But what's interesting is, when we read the psalm, the psalm specifically deals with Doeg's words. Right? What words were they? These were the words which he reported, right, to Saul. Now, these words were words of hate, and it led to much bloodshed. So in this psalm, David is talking about Doeg, and he marvels at Doeg, and I suppose he marvels at those who are like Doeg, who not only love evil, but boast about it as well. Now what's fascinating here is that David's charge against Doeg, well, was not his actions, but his charge against Doeg was Doeg's words, right? Now verse 2, it says here that, you know, David calls the tongue a tongue that devises mischief, right, or destruction. Verse 3 says it loves lies. Verse 4 says it is devouring words. So while the slaughter of hundreds of people was the act of Doeg, but David identifies the source of Doeg's crime as being, firstly, his speech, right? Doeg was the one who put his hateful speech into action. And this is what we see. It's not just action, it's the words. Right? We all know James chapter 3, right? Words, the tongue can set, it's a world of fire. It can set, right, the course of history aflame, right, with problems because of the tongue, right? And so believers are called to sanctify our speech because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, you know, folks, words are not just words, right? You know, people say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, right? But that's not true. Words are vital. Words are very important because ultimately words come from the heart. And these words will be put into action if we do nothing to guard our hearts and our mouths. You know, unlike a knife, if you use a knife often enough, it becomes dull, right? But the tongue is is the only tool which has an edge which sharpens, which becomes sharper with use. It grows keener with use, right? Now, we see in verse 1 of Psalm 52 that Doeg boasted. He was proud of his actions. You know, he didn't see what he did as being evil. Now, according to the commentator James Montgomery Boyce, the word boast in verse 1 does not necessarily mean that Doeg went around and boasted that, oh, I did this. But the word boast speaks more about his character, that he was smug. Right? And James Montgomery Boyce says, the person thinks of himself as clever. There's a smugness or even a smirking, right, of what he did. So these are hateful words, the words of mischief, devious words, right, lover of lies, etc. But what we learn here is that the one who speaks words of hate will not have the last laugh. Rather, while their evil words and evil deeds can be ferocious, we learn from this psalm that they are short-lived, right? Believers will ultimately sigh a breath of happy relief, right? Now, while the wicked and Doeg, and David, of course, is speaking about people like him, may prosper for a time, they will ultimately face the judgment of a righteous God. You know, that's what even Jesus said, you know, be careful of every idle word because, you know, God will take into account everything that we say. You know, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, right? And so we see that whatever they say, whatever they do, verse 5 says that God shall likewise destroy thee forever. Now, this is a frightful thing. We often think that destruction is one big event, and once it's done, that's it. But here we see that the destruction is forever. It keeps on going on and on. And verse 5 continues to say, he shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Now the image here is of the wicked being plucked up and uprooted. But this is contrasted with the stability of the believer. Now verse 8 speaks of the one who trusts in God as being like a green olive tree growing in the house of God. And God's people, we learn in verse 6, will respond to the sight of this judgment. Right? God will judge, right, the evil talker. They will respond to this judgment first with fear, with awe. Right? Verse 6 says, the righteous shall see this destruction, shall also shall see and fear. But what does the end of verse 6 says? After they see the destruction, they shall laugh at him. Now, you kind of read this and kind of wonder, that's not very nice, right? The righteous sees the destruction of the wicked and they fear God and then they laugh? That doesn't sound very nice, right? Now, what does this word laugh here mean? Now, we also see this word laugh used in Psalm 2, right? If you take a look at Psalm 2, we see a completely different kind of laugh. This is not the laugh of the people, of the righteous, or those who suffer, but this is the laugh of God. Alright, so verse 1, you see, the psalmist asking, why do the heathen rage, the people imagine a vain thing, why do the kings, in verse 2, set themselves, and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, and what are they saying, verse 3, they're saying, oh, we want to break free from God's rule. But then verse 4 says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Now, we look at these two psalms, and we might be tempted to say the way the believers laugh is the way that the Lord laughs. Right? I don't believe that this is the case here. God laughs at the paltry efforts that the wicked exert to rebel against God, right? And he says, this is nothing, right? I will set my king, my son, my anointed on Zion. He will rule, right? And in the end, all will bow and worship him. They will kiss the son, lest he be angry. But here in Psalm 52, when the righteous see and fear, and when they laugh at the destruction of the wicked, this is not a cynical laughter. This is not. This is not a laughter that rejoices in other people's pain. But I would say it is the laughter, it is the sigh of relief that you have been vindicated. Right? Remember, these are the very ones, David is identifying himself with the righteous. All right, what did Doeg do? Doeg went to tell on him, right? And as a result, Saul was angry, and Doeg went to kill Ahimelech, went to kill all the priests, went to kill all the women. And David here, must have been confounded. But God gives a promise that, people who speak evil words, people who carry out their evil words, they will not go unpunished. And so when you see it happen, firstly, you acknowledge God, you fear, there's a reverence there, but you laugh. It's a laughter of relief, right? It's a laughter of relief. With that person or that evildoer away, you can rest easy, right? I was trying to look for an illustration for this. Right, talking about the relief that people have, right? When those who are wicked and talk wickedly are no more. And I came across this very interesting one about an epitaph on a tombstone. And the illustration goes something like this: on a windswept hill in an English country churchyard stands a drab gray slate tombstone. The quaint stone bears an epitaph not easily seen unless you stoop over and look closely, and the faint etchings read, "Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue." Right? Now, I don't know who Arabella Young was, but, you know, the people were sure relieved that she wasn't speaking anymore. Right? So here, the psalm concludes, whereas the wicked speaker is smug and boasts about his sins, David is contrasted here, right, as being someone who trusts in God, right, trusts in the mercy of God. He is not smug. So this psalm, you know, brings to us this contrast, and the contrast that we see all over the place. This contrast between Doeg and David. It's a contrast between those who don't abide in God and his laws, and the contrast those who do abide in God's laws. The contrast lays two paths before us, the way of life, the way of death, the way of blessing, the way of judgment, the way of David, the way of Doeg. It's a reminder to us, folks, right, that as believers in Christ, right, we are expected still to live righteously and in accordance to the Word of God. And it speaks here of the displeasure of God against those who behave like Doeg. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do not know why you have chosen to save us, for we are wretched creatures, and often, yea, left to our own devices, we choose the path of evil and of sin. Lord, we have all been smug about our sins. We have all not been careful with how we have spoken. Lord, help us to know the dangers associated with the tongue. We thank you for the reminder of Doeg and his role in your greater plan of redemption. Father, we pray that you would preserve us, that you would preserve us especially from this path. Help us to be as David, to keep close to you, to trust in you. Indeed, we thank you for the example of David, how he points to the greater David, our Lord Jesus Christ. For when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he was given evil, he repaid it with good in forgiving those who transgressed against him. That as a lamb led to the slaughter was silent, so our Lord was too to bear the iniquity of his people. So Lord, we pray that you would teach us the way of Christ, the way he spoke, the way he controlled his speech. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.